very much looking forward to another opportunity to play at home in front of the Dog Pound against a very impressive Broncos team. You know, for us, our success, our confidence, as always, will come through our preparation. That's one thing that we've emphasized this year, just confidence through prep. And it'll especially be true this weekend. Anytime you go against a quarterback like Peyton, who's seen everything, you have to be on point with every little detail, because he's certainly paying attention to all of it, and we'll get their guys in the right places. Then defensively, we have not gone against a defense like this, one that rushes the passer like they do, get off the ball, very good in the secondary. I mean, I think they're number one in a bunch of categories, and or at least top five. I think number one overall defensively, and it's for a good reason. Wade Phillips has them playing at a very high level. So as much as we feel good about what we did this past Sunday, the guys had, you know, we gave them Monday off and came in this morning and talked about it a little bit. I made it very clear in the meeting once we reached a certain point that Baltimore was behind us, and we were looking forward, as always, as we talk, always use the word compartmentalize. We have to put this one as significant as it was, as much meaning as it had, that it needs to be behind us, Sunday will come up quick. Getting back to Denver, I mean, it is a group that will challenge us in all three phases. I know there's word of them being a little bit banged up, but they have tremendous depth, so that I don't know how much of a factor that will be in the game. And special teams wise, it's a challenge. Two of the better kickers in the league. I don't think McManus has missed, and Colquitt's, I believe, has been to a Pro Bowl. I mean, he's very good punter, very good directionally, and also can kick them deep if he has to. On the injury front, Josh will be out there working today. The only players that will miss, Joe Hayden's will be in the concussion protocol. Scott Solomon, Craig Robertson, and Gip will not be out there as well. I'll open it up. Yeah, I mean, he's sore. He's sore, and we'll be mindful of that. You know, the game's not till Sunday, so when he's logged enough reps, we might scale his reps back today. But he'll be out there.
Obviously, the numbers are great. What is he doing best that you like the most?
Well, one, he's very prepared. He understands when a play gets called. The play from A to Z, he understands it well. The formation, who needs to be where, the timing of any particular motion, the spacing of the wide receivers, and then what the read is. If it's, you know, if the route's built there where we have a blitz beater on one side and a zone beater on the other, that he can recognize a defense, and he's decisive. And when the throws that he's made, for the most part, you know, he's been extremely accurate. And our guys have, as I've said, if you're going to have a quarterback play that well, you have to be doing something good around him. And for the most part, we protected well on that many pass attempts. I know we gave up some hits and some sacks, but I think overall the protection was there, certainly when we needed it. And we ran good routes, and we were, you know, the receivers were, you know, they were where they were supposed to be, and caught the football, and we broke tackles, and you know, got some positive yards. So I just think he has a great understanding and a great command of what we're doing, and when you put when you're accurate and on time on top of that, you're going to get those type of results.
Do you think he might have to get back on Sunday?
It's too early to tell.
And like Manning hasn't been Manning. Does that make you even more uneasy considering who he is and what he's capable of?
Yeah, I mean, you see flashes of it on tape that you can make a cut up where you could make the argument that he is. I know statistically he hasn't been. Points-wise, they haven't been. But that's, you know, we're preparing to see the best. Like I said, he has a great command of what they're doing and understands the intricate details of defensive football. And we have to be, you know, real good at what we do, and know that he's got some playmakers that he's done a nice job of getting the ball to them.
Hey, Mike, about Gary Barnage. Did you think that you're getting Cameron back? Because I know there were stories that he had to actually resign with the Browns. Did you think that you were getting him back in the spring?
Did we think we were getting him back? I just remember back to the day where he was down in Miami, and there was some back and forth with his agent, and I know it got reported that he was coming back. I wasn't really at the front lines of those discussions when all that was going on, but Jordan Cameron is a good player that played some meaningful reps for the Browns, but he's not here anymore. And we were confident when it all went down that we know the type of player Gary is. Gary showed it last year in just fewer opportunities. We saw Gary as a complete tight end. I mean, he's a more than adequate blocker, which sometimes is hard to find in today's NFL at the tight end spot. A lot of these guys come in and they're more worried. They want to be more of the receiving type. And I just think Gary is one of the reasons he's good is we can have him out there in downs where teams can't say, oh, they're receiving tight ends on the field and adjust it accordingly. So I think that's one of the reasons that he's gotten some good looks is because teams have been more in a vanilla-type defense than something geared to stop the pass.
Mike, when you say Manning has great command of what they're doing, can you explain that? Because it looks just the opposite. Like they're not mesh at all.
I think if you watch their film from the beginning up until now, I think you see it's progressing. And I'm not in that building. I don't know what their discussions are. But I think anytime you install a new offense right in the beginning, there's going to be some hiccups, even with somebody of his caliber. And I just you can see it when you just look at the amount of whether it's gun snaps and when they are throwing the ball, you know, that's when I see him. Especially the third down stuff, the 2 minute, you know, when they've gone no huddle, that's where you see more of the vintage Peyton. I know the numbers weren't there, and I know watching the first, like I said, if you watch the first game to the Oakland game, I mean it's very different. So you can see that they're, you know, feeling their way, and they're still trying to figure out who they are. But that doesn't diminish to me his. You know what he does as a quarterback and his ability to change a play and get the ball where he needs to get it.
Is the game plan kind of like don't let him get in a final 2 minute opportunity where he can be Manning?
Yeah, I mean you hate to if you're going against that type of quarterback, you never want to give him the ball at the end of the game with the chance to. We just went through that a couple weeks ago. So yeah, to me he's one of the best, if not the best, in those types of situations.
Situations with concussion and everything. One play that comes to mind in Baltimore was he landed backward, his head bounced on the field turf. But in a moment like that, and at other times, we worry about the durability of the 36.
Well, fortunately for me, I didn't have a good view of that. I heard that happened. We were all looking down the field at the ball that was one of his poor decisions of the day. I thought we caught a break with getting the penalty because he didn't throw it hard enough to get it out of bounds. But to answer your question, this has come up before. I mean, it's a certain style of play, and there's you add to the circumstances of his age, and this is the first time that he's just out there. I mean, not first time, but he's playing all the reps as opposed to over the course of his career. Sometimes it was in backup duty. You know, he had played a lot last year and played a lot in Chicago. But that's always a concern, and that's why it's important for us that we emphasize the pass protection. But part of it is Josh too. I mean, there are times where just throw the ball away, and he's so competitive and so wants to make a play, but he has to understand he's not 24 anymore. Yeah, I mean that room. They're all prepared. Austin prepares to be the starter. I mean that, and if you have that mentality, that's not only good if something does happen, but just for down the road to mentally take those reps, to get as many as you can during the practice, and then to watch it go out and implement it. But I think that's two part because one, Johnny's been great. He's been into it. He prepares each week just like Austin, and even Connor's in that room. And then you have And then Kevin and Flip, just make sure that they're, I mean, relentless on those guys as far as how they prepare.
Left. I know they did run the ball with some success, but they didn't seem to hurt you other than the dump off to Forsett. What allowed you kind of get through that last quarter and into overtime as far as
this? Yeah, somebody told me after the game, I guess they didn't complete a ball to a wideout in the second half. But the rushing defense was discouraging in the second half because we had only given up, I think, 34 yards at halftime, and they ended up with a significant number. But the back end guys, and it's to me, it's similar to we talk about guys preparing like they're a starter. I mean, that's Pierre Desir, and was a function of his preparation. We try to get those guys as many as we can, and also when we put them on the scout team, they understand that hey, this is a chance for me to get a quality rep, even though I'm playing somebody else's defense. A lot of times we can equate it to some technique that we're playing. Those guys need to be ready to play, and I thought Pierre did a nice job stepping up and filling in for Joe.
Ask you this in the conference call on Monday about the reps with the linebackers, because it did look, I mean, when you look at like Paul's numbers, they're really out of line with what he's played, and some of the other guys, Mingo, and he mm-hmm. played four. Are you guys just looking for try to get something going with that group right now?
Well, one of the problems that you end up with, and that we tried to do in the first couple games, when you're subbing guys in and out, you know, and teams are either not huddling or and we got to the point where it was hard, you know, the guys coming in and out, and we had some close calls. So we just assigned guys personnel groupings that, hey, when we call our subgroup, we want these are the two outside backers on the field. When we call our base group, these are the two guys out there. We have two different versions of base defense, and there's some overlapping calls with them, but there's different emphasis based on the skill set of the guys that are in there. So Jimmy has the ability to control that with the personnel grouping that he's calling. And when you look at it as the way that the game went, we ended up in those groupings that had Ming and Paul on the field less, and Armani and Nate were out there more, and obviously Scott.
Mike, how come you...
Go ahead, Pat. Sorry, I'll get...
Yep. Going back to Manning, given the way the schedule is, and given, you know, we don't know if this is the last time Cleveland fans will see him, especially here in Cleveland. As a defensive coach, could you explain a little why he's so difficult in what he does? And also, is there a memory you have of him in the game that stands up?
But you're tearing some old wounds open there, Pat. To me, he's the equivalent of having an offensive coordinator that can play out there against you, and who's also, we talk about quarterbacks and what makes them special, and it's one of the biggest things for us is processing speed, the ability to take information and know very quickly this is the play we want to be in, and then they've built the offenses around his ability to do that, and then add on top of it, there are some quarterbacks that have that but aren't as physically gifted, and I mean, here's a guy that's the size that he is and has the quick release and the ability to be very accurate with the football and place it where he wants to place it on time. I mean, that's the reason that he's first ballot, you know, no-brainer, you know, in the Hall of Fame. So it's just such a chess game when you go against him. And if I always talk about when you go against quarterbacks and you let them know what you're in before the snap, you're in trouble, and he and Brady are right up there with the elite of, they know where to go before the snap. I mean, you don't have a chance. That you have to be able to do some unconventional things and to make them think that you're doing something different. You have to change that week, and just understand that the last 10 times he's played against our system, whether it's looking at the Cleveland tape, whether it's going back to Jets, I promise you he's even gone back to some of the Baltimore tape and looked at how we defended him. You have to almost try to use that against him. Say, listen, we have to be different from things that we've done because something we've lined up in maybe 5 years ago against him, he'll recognize it and know what to do against it. So the tough memory for me was in 06 when I was in Baltimore, and we were pretty special defensively that year. And we held him to five field goals in playoff game. He didn't score a touchdown. I think it was a 30 rating, and we got after him pretty good. But just the way the game went, we ended up losing 15-6, and was a it was a crusher. If I have to rank my toughest losses of all time, ones that I'll, you know, people say, well, you'll get over it in time. I haven't gotten over that one yet. I don't think I ever will. So, unfortunately, not very many positive memories. I mean, we did beat him in New York in a playoff game, which was significant. But he's he's right up there. It's a shame. It's potentially winding down for him. But he's, clearly in the discussion of the greatest of all time.
What is your theory why you have only one interception?
What is the theory?
Why you had 21 last year, but how come only one this year?
I think they're a function of a lot of things. It's, down and distance, obvious passing situations. I know we've had some that we've dropped. I mean, we have a saying in our room, you got to catch the ones they throw to you. And we've gotten our hands on some and haven't been able to come down with them. And then it's also a function of the pass rush and getting hands up. And, a lot of the interceptions come on tips and overthrows. And we have to do a better job affecting the quarterback to force or to maybe get a hand up to tip a ball or to force an overthrow. If the quarterback feels like he has to throw it out of a well, then a lot of times the ball will sail. So it's a function of a lot of things. I mean, I know they typically come in bunches, and I know we haven't had leads for significant portions of time in games. You look at a lot of your sacks and turnovers come in the fourth quarter when a team's trailing. We have to do a better job getting teams into those situations. He is.
Know anything about him other than that?
I know a little bit about him. He's a good kid. I still keep in touch with Dick Beck, who's the head coach at North Penn. So he was quick to remind me that I was going up against him this week and that he was 12 for 12 and 4 for 4 over 50 yards. And I'm like, who are you cheering for this weekend?
Why did the circumstances come about for you guys to bring TJ Ward back? And when you look at him now, how's he playing?
You mean to not bring him back?
To not bring him back.
Yeah. He's playing at a high level. I mean, it was a decision that was made right when I got here. I know there was a lot was made of him and DeQuell as guys that have been here for a while. He's playing at a high level. I mean, he's very much a complete safety. When you talk about guys that are free or strong, that he can really do both, and that makes it tough on an offense when it's hard to identify what he's playing, because it's some teams that have a true free or strong, you can gather a lot more information pre-snap. They do a good job moving him around, and then they have a package where he comes down and essentially plays linebacker in a dime grouping. You could see. I mean, he's in a good place. He's plays with great effort, great energy, and he's extremely productive.
And then when you're talking about the turnovers, Jeff's question, is that why they've had some of those key turnovers as coaches?
I think it starts with their edges, and it wasn't, it's not just Von Miller. We're not sure of DeMarcus Ware's status, but just what those two have been able to do. But then when you add a Barrett and a Shane Ray, they were rolling four pass rushers on the edges, and that's tough because that speeds up a quarterback's clock. I mean, we were watching a cut-up the other day. I asked Flip, I said, is this the sack cut-up? And he goes, no, this is just a normal 11 personnel cut-up that we're watching. Because not only do they sack the quarterback, they're hitting them too, and that has an effect over time. So we're aware of that, and I think we have to do a good job this isn't we talked last week about running the football and lack of it, and that we would have to change our thinking. Anytime you can rush the passer the way they do, you have to be able to run. It means establish some type of run. So that'll be important for us. More, and part of it too is to get ahead of the sticks. So to not be in those situations. Anytime you can tell a Von Miller that it's second and 10 or it's third and 11. I mean, they are playing the run on the way to the quarterback. We have to be in as few situations like that as possible.